1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. Today's edition of the program, the Bears beat the Titans this weekend. What does that mean for their season opener? We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Mike North, the sports radio legend, host on the Bears Barroom Network. We talk with him about the Bears season, what to expect in 2021, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no game with Ryan. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called them yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find them online at ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. I hate narrative shifting. I hate people trying to cover up their tracks, shifting opinions left and right, blaming one person and blaming the other. Happens a lot in sports, especially when the NFL, for example, is a league of parity. So we see all the time the constant blame shifting from this person to that person. It's the quarterback, it's the GM, it's the head coach, it's the personnel. Who is it? Who's truly responsible for the mess you're in? See, I remember last year for the Bears, it was a combination of three different things. Nobody agreed on who was truly responsible, but we all knew it was Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, but more importantly, Mitch Trubisky. Show of hands here. How many people watching this video blame Mitch Trubisky for everything that went wrong last year? Come on, you can be honest. It's okay, we're all friends here. Didn't blame Ryan Pace for assembling a crappy team around him. Didn't blame Matt Nagy for calling the horrible plays. Didn't even blame the defense for regressing significantly from 2018. Nope, it's Mitch Trubisky's fault. So the obvious answer was get rid of him, bring in a new quarterback, everything will be fine. I want to read you this tweet from Ryan Heckman. One thing no one has mentioned yet about Justin Fields against the Titans. Typically, the first 10 to 15 plays are scripted. So outside of the penalties, drops, and mediocre protection, it made sense that Fields got it going later in the half. Matt Nagy equals not a good play caller. Quote from Dave, why is Matt Nagy taking the ball out of Justin Fields' hands? The Bears Nation podcast, the signature run sack, courtesy of yours truly, Matt Nagy. Got another one. Good to see Matt Nagy is still obsessed with running out of the shotgun in short yardage situations. Got them all right in front of me right here. Do we still want to admit that Mitch Trubisky was the problem? All of you who slandered Mitch, that he wasn't fit to be an NFL quarterback, where are you today? It's pretty apparent who the issue is. And we saw it in the preseason game. Who cares if the Bears won or lost? That means nothing. We saw some serious issues from the shotgun, fourth down and short, and you're running the football out of the shotgun. What do you expect to happen? You really think you're going to gain the yards? Come on. Quote from Aaron Lemon. Matt Nagy seems to have zero interest in getting a good look at Justin Fields in the early going. Zero rhythm and minimal effectiveness. Is it time to finally identify the elephant in the room? I'm not even here to brag or boast, even though I know it wasn't Mitch Trubisky's fault. I want everyone to realize who the problem is. Yes, you could blame Ryan Pace for taking Mitch that high. You could blame Ryan Pace for some of the moves that were made. You could blame Pace for even hiring Matt Nagy. But at the end of the day, these plays that have been called for the past couple of years, now we saw it in preseason two, have been atrocious. You want to blame anybody for what's happened here in Chicago over the past couple of years? Point your finger to Nagy. And the only reason his record is what it is because the defense bailed him out. He's an offensive-minded coach, and the defense is bailing the guy out. The reason he has a job today is because of 2018. Realistically. Because his record is still over 500. Who did that? The defense. Taking away the ball 30-plus times? And in my opinion, had the potential to win a Super Bowl in 2018. That's the fact of the matter here. If it wasn't for the defense being who they were, Matt Nagy would not have a job today. Now instead, he gets a chance to ruin another quarterback. Already ruined Mitch, totally broke him. Shattered all of his confidence, made him go by his playbook, and it didn't work. When you let Mitch be himself, Bill Lazor, good things came. Now to Fields' credit, still put up good numbers in that game. 7-10, 54 yards, one touchdown. Nick Foles, for some reason, had a monster game too. We'll talk more about him in a minute, by the way. If the Bears do well, seriously, it's Fields doing well in spite of Nagy. These play calls were atrocious. They didn't help anybody, and their offense stalled until Matt Nagy opened up the playbook. Fields didn't throw that great viral touchdown pass till late in the second quarter because he was given a chance to actually be himself. I'll admit it, Fields is more athletic, more talented, more raw talent than Mitch Trubisky, by far. If that is not utilized, he will not be great. He will be Mitch Trubisky. If he is not given free reign of this offense. We saw what happened when he got free reign. Dominated, did great, 7-10, 54 yards, touchdown, no picks. Ran the ball for 13 yards. Led the team in preseason in rushing yards and passing yards. When he's given free reign, he will succeed. When he has an offensive line, he will succeed. That's the big takeaway I had. Really. If Fields is given a competent O-line, he'll be great. But also, he has to be allowed to do his thing. He can't be told, stick to my play, stick to my book, stick to my script. Because Matt Nagy's script is atrocious. Here's the funny part, too. If he's being called this quarterback guru, if that's the reason he was hired, why has nothing worked? I mean, seriously, nothing. I can't remember one greatly scripted Matt Nagy play call. I mean, last year he had Cole Kmet run an end around. Tight end. Tight end end around. I didn't even know that existed. No one can recall a good play or a good offensive-minded scheme by Matt Nagy. All we remember are the failures, the issues, the fact that he's hung his quarterbacks out to dry and hasn't taken responsibility, that he's broken quarterbacks and moved on to the new shiny toy. I'm actually happy the game went the way it did. I think everybody finally realized maybe it wasn't Mitch. You'll get your same detractors saying it's all on him, but I think everyone kind of galvanized and said, you know what? Let's stop focusing on the quarterback position. Let's focus on who's calling these plays. They did. And everyone's starting to notice this might be a Matt Nagy problem. And here's the issue. Nagy will be here as long as Justin Fields shows development. That's why, by the way, Andy Dalton starting week one. They want to go 0-3, 0-4 with Dalton. Then Fields could come in, save the day. Nagy will be considered a hero, and he'll stick around. I really hope there's a point where Fields defies Nagy and tells him, no, I'm not going to do this. This is a stupid play call. I see the defense. I'm going to make my own decision. Call an audible. Improvise with my legs. Make a play. That's what I want to see. I want to see the reaction from Nagy when it works. Fields is a talented quarterback. He needs to be given free rein. You need to let him go. Can't keep him on a short leash. It's not going to work. He will not be effective if you limit his ability. I think we all saw that on Saturday. If I'm wrong, tell me. Comment and tell me. I don't think so, though. I think we all realized who the real problem is. And I think we know moving forward, if Fields is not given free rein and no O-line, it's not going to work well. He did well in spite of Nagy. But I will say this, if he faces first stringers, big-time players, and Nagy scripting plays, and there's no O-line, no protection, it's not going to work. And if I were Fields, I'd demand a trade right away, seriously. Go to a place where you're appreciated, where your skill set is catered to, not where you have to go by the playbook, listen to Matt Nagy, and follow a guy who's never developed one quarterback. I want to talk about the Nick Foles situation. Had a good game. Who cares? That's not a personal attack. I mean, who cares if Nick Foles dices up second and third string defenders? That just means absolutely nothing. And a 13, 142 yards, two touchdowns. Here's the funny part, though. Nick Foles wants to control his own fate. Albert Breer reported this. The Bears will listen on Nick Foles, but I've also gotten the sense that they aren't going to send him somewhere he doesn't want to go. I'll read it again. The Bears will listen on Nick Foles, but I've also gotten the sense that they aren't going to send him somewhere he doesn't want to go. Hold on a minute. What do the Bears owe Nick Foles? I'm asking. What does he deserve from the Bears? What did he do for the Bears to get to this position where he thinks he has leverage over where he goes? If anything, he hindered the Bears last year. It was his fault they almost missed the playoffs. And now you're saying I'm not going anywhere unless I pick. Who the hell do you think you are? Here's some career-long backup who had one great six-game stretch. Cool your jets. You don't choose where to go. And the fact that the Bears are for some reason cooperating is even worse. What benefit is there to cooperating with Nick Foles? You paid him a ton of money. He did nothing for you. Almost hindered a playoff appearance. But no, we're going to make sure he goes to where he wants to go. Hey, newsflash. It's the NFL. If you're traded, you're traded. Deal with it. You should be happy you stole money from the Bears and you're still getting paid today. I want to go where I want to go. Give me a break. My goodness. So disgraceful. And I'm actually surprised teams are interested in this. I mean, this is not a good PR stunt for Foles. No doubt. Where's he going to go? Deal. Not going to be a starter. That's a fact. I don't know where he would go in which he'd start games. So where do you want to go? What situation is going to be best for you? You won't start unless he's waiting for an injury maybe to latch onto a different team. I don't know. But this whole story is just a joke. The fact that the Bears are actually negotiating and listening to Foles, who did nothing for the team, the organization, the city, makes absolutely no sense. Why they're caving to his demands beats the hell out of me. I don't get it. And why he thinks he has any leverage or demands is even worse. Just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Like, he thinks he deserves anything. He should not be owed a penny. He stole money from the Bears, didn't perform. already has a Super Bowl ring. He could retire today and be set. It'd be different if he's a quality quarterback. Like, let's say this. Assuming Deshaun Watson had no criminal charges, I don't mind the guy saying, hey, I'd like to go somewhere where I'm going to be appreciated, right? Great quarterback has the numbers and the proof to back it up. Or an old guy like Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant. Bryant wanted to go to the West. Got family out there, Cubs, can you guys make it happen? They did. Why? Bryant, MVP, World Series champion, Cubs legend somewhat. Why not? That's fine. Has Nick Foles won the Bears a Super Bowl? Has he won an MVP with the Bears? Has he even completed 70% of his passes? No. I love the press conference too a couple of weeks ago when he was asked about his status and he said, I've never felt better. I've never been better. No, Nick, you've been better many times before. This is actually your worst. As you didn't know, this is your worst. Tell you, this does not set a good precedent for the Bears. The fact that they're sitting here negotiating and bowing down to their third-string quarterback's demands, it's not a good story for anybody involved. My hope is that they tell Nick, at the end of the day, we're training you where we want you to go. It's not up to you, it's up to us. We need to focus on the cap, salary, the situation, and we'll train you when we see it fit. Not when you see it fit. If he really has a problem with it, release him. Release him. He can go sign with whoever he wants, because if he believes the delusion that so many teams are after him, then let him deal with it. Cut the guy, same salary, save a roster spot, and move on. I'd rather see a roster spot go to Rodney Adams, right, than Nick Foles. Rodney Adams deserves to make the team. If he loses out on a spot because Nick Foles is occupying dead space, that's a problem. Big problem to me. Here's a guy making catches over other people's helmets, never played in an NFL game. Here's his chance. Oh, wait. Sorry, Rodney. We're paying Nick Foles, the third stringer, good money to sit on the bench and do nothing. So you can't contribute. You will not be allowed to be on this team. But we'll keep a guy who cannot contribute either, keep him on the bench and pay him. All because we couldn't find a trade partner because he didn't want to go. This whole thing is ridiculous, blown out of proportion. And if I were Nick Foles, I'd check your ego at the door. Again, newsflash. You are not a superstar quarterback. You're a backup at best. You have no say-so in where you end up going and who you end up playing. And the fact that you think you do is a knock on the Bears. That's a knock on the Bears for giving him the illusion that he has power. A lot's going to happen before opening day for the Bears. I could see a lot of stories taking place. We'll be here to cover it. But the main takeaway from Saturday's game, Justin Fields needs to be himself. Don't micromanage him. Don't helicopter parent him. Let him be himself. Let him play. Let him improvise. Let him be who he's supposed to be. Everybody wanted a Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. You have one. Let him be that guy. And also, the fact that the Bears are caving to Nick Foles is so weak and so wrong. And they better clean up their act and realize we don't need to cave to anybody. We're the Chicago Bears. Seriously. This is a premier NFL franchise. Not the Browns. It's not any of these other teams. Jacksonville, no. Founding member of the NFL caving to a third-string quarterback. Are you kidding me? How the hell is that even acceptable nor possible? This better be worked out before the season. I'm serious. He should not have a roster spot versus somebody who deserves it. If I were the Bears, I'd crack down and tell Foles, you're out of here, you mean nothing, and there is no way you should have a say-so in where you go. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Mike North comes up next, so stay tuned. Talk Chicago. Herbert Johns of Gloul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a sports radio pioneer, host of The Odds Couple on ESPN 1000, and a contributor to the Barroom Network. Please welcome Mike North to the program. Mike, it's great to have you on. How are you?
It's great, John. Great to talk to you, my friend. How's everything going? Hope everything's well.
Mike, what was your take from the Bears game from this weekend?
Predictability. I took the over, which was 38.5. I thought that the Buffalo Bills would come out and treat it like a regular season game. Mitch already, Trubisky's a beloved, not only in the Bear locker room, but in the Buffalo locker room. I was happy for him. He basically has toned everybody out and shut everybody up for the most part. It vindicated me and a few stragglers who have been fighting for him. And it once again is an indictment on 90 to 95% of the national media, 90% of the Chicago media. That includes TV, radio, and the newspapers. He just put on a display with a new team that I think won't be forgotten. And I know a lot of people are walking with their heads down right now as far as the Bears are concerned, because it actually is going to get worse. When it didn't have to, we could assign Mitch for the fifth year. He can get away from the pass rush. We have a heavy-footed guy in Dalton now who's not as nimble as Mitch. Fields right now will get killed if they put him in. So Nagy basically made the situation worse with a misjudgment once again on the situation.
But Mike, it's a preseason game. Who cares, right? I mean, do you think that's Mitch proving anything in the preseason game?
Oh, absolutely. But see, here's the problem. And that question that he had to prove himself here in this game, John, leads me to everything I've been saying. We developed a quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, and the Bears and the media and 75% of the fans don't even know it. I mean, this guy's going to make a lot of money next year. And, you know, somebody brought up that, you know, Nagy could be out and the offensive coordinator of Buffalo will be in. Well, if the offensive coordinator of Buffalo's in, Daboll, Trubisky will be signed again. Because from what I understand, one of the deals that looks good is that Daboll will be getting the job somewhere else, and Mitch Trubisky will be the first number he calls.
What do you think about the Bills and the way they've treated him so far compared to his treatment when he was here in Chicago?
Oh, it's horrible. Mitch was treated horribly. See, I even read, you know, I read all the tweets, you know?
Right.
And I even read yours. Yeah, believe it or not. And this is a tweet from you. My two major takeaways from yesterday's Bears versus Bills game: Justin Fields needs protection, shouldn't start until he has some, like it or not. And yes, Mitch Trubisky can be a competent NFL quarterback. He was for 3.5 years. What were you watching? I mean, I don't understand. See, because you made the same deal. You've been more or less on Mitch's bandwagon, but I don't know if the heat from callers or what you're trying, who you're trying to please. But if you look at the statistics of a Mitch Trubisky, you can't say he's a bust. He was overly competent. He's the only quarterback that's made Matt Nagy's offense look good. So it's more of the media just going along with the crowd, basically, John. And I've refused to do so. I felt vindicated, and I think the rest of you should look up and start to look at the numbers. I picked up his numbers today just for fun to see if you could explain to me how a guy that spent 3.5 years with the 29-21 record through 64 TDs, 37 interceptions, had the highest rating of any Bear quarterback at 87% in history, and has a completion career of 64%. And I got to hear from you, he could be competent. We had a heck of a quarterback, and the Bears' total of 7.5 wins would be higher with Mitch. And we'd be going with the quarterback that made the playoffs, basically, last year. So he's played really 3 full seasons and made the – and if you take out his rookie season, okay, 2017, right. where he was 4-8, where he was 4-8. He's 26-13. Yet I got to read that he can't read defenses or that he needs to be competent. It's a joke. It's a, the whole thing is a narrative. It's a narrative that most of the media has sold on the fans. And I don't go along with that media because this is the same media that let Jay Cutler go 57-57. This is the same media that thought Nick Foles was going to be outstanding at 2-5. He ended up, and Andy Dalton is a if anybody thinks that Andy Dalton is an upgrade from Mitch Trubisky, shame on all of you. Shame on all of you.
How surprising was the positive coverage from Bears media, by the way? I'm sure you saw the interaction from a lot of the Bears beat reporters with the Mitch Trubisky press conference after the game. Why did the narrative kind of shift?
Well, because he put himself on display. Look, if he has a bad game, everybody would have gone, see? So I don't buy the it was a preseason game. You would have been on saying the same thing. Well, looks like the Bears were right. Or maybe they weren't, but you know what? It looks like they made the right move. And I'm here to tell everybody, they made the wrong move. You don't get rid of a quarterback. See, like I said, though, the Bears have never developed a quarterback. But they when they actually did, see, the deal is, he's not Nagy's guy, never has been. Nagy wants to win with a guy he brings in, whether it be Foles, whether it be any of the other quarterbacks that he's brought in. He doesn't want to be the guy that will get his thunder stolen by Mitch Trubisky for some reason. I don't know what the disconnect was, but Dalton probably will be replaced in the third or fourth game. And Fields definitely, I will tell everybody this, I'd be willing to bet anybody that after 3.5 years or 4 years of quarterbacking, Fields' stats won't be like Trubisky's were the first 4 years with the Bears. And Trubisky hasn't had a whole lot to play with. You know, everybody talks about what Mitch did with the Bears. Well, who did he have? You know, they got rid of Jordan Howard right under his feet. Well, regardless of how Jordan Howard is now, Montgomery took a year. You know, I mean, this is a team that Allen Robinson, if he's double teamed this year, somebody better step up. So hopefully things will turn out good, but there was no reason for this whole fiasco, except for the fact there was a falling out after the third game between Mitch Trubisky and everybody knows it, and Matt Nagy.
Just want to set the record straight here, Mike, and you know this from last year. I do like Mitch Trubisky. Maybe the tweet seemed a bit misleading, but I will say this. Bears fans who consider him a bust obviously don't know what a bust is. I mean, Cade McNown was a bust. Jamarcus Russell, right. Ryan Leaf. These are guys who played 2 years in the NFL and then sputtered out. Mitch Trubisky has a 29-22 record. I don't think that's anywhere near being called a bust.
No, and I'm with you 100%. And the bottom line is, John, that the people that called him a bust are the same people that were at the altar of Jay Cutler. They're at the altar now of Justin Fields. No, I mean, I'm serious now. I'm not, this is no laughing matter. Justin Fields is RG3 to me. And if anybody remembers RG3, his first 2 years were outstanding.
Right.
Okay. But then, because the only thing he could do, you want to talk about not being able to read a defense or not being able to recognize a pass rush? They rushed four guys and he walked right into one that almost killed him. So he can run away all he wants. He's already dinged up. He was limping at the end of that game. He's RG3 or RG3 junior or RG3 the second or RG3-2. That's what he's going to be. Now, can he stay healthy to do that? And if he can, good. Because then you got a Lamar Jackson top. But as far as who was the best quarterback on the field Sunday, heads and tails, Trubisky. It was embarrassing. I mean, you put up 34 points. That was shutting everybody up because he's had to keep it in for 3 years. Keep it inside because he's a class act.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think for Fields that's an indictment on the old line or is that an indictment on Fields himself?
Well, he's not going to play with the talent he had at Ohio State. That's the first thing. And you know what? His accuracy is just going to be okay. He threw two that were supposed to be catchable in the end zone. They were 5 feet over the guy's head. I mean, you know what? He had a good first game. How come his game? How come preseason counted when he played good? But Mitch plays good, and it's only a preseason game. See, that's the message you even brought up.
Right.
Did you? You were encouraged by Fields. And, you know, and you're entitled to your opinion, John, but I know you were encouraged by Fields in the first game. But in the second game, I didn't hear Fields basically played a crap game. He got away with some things because of his speed. But the best quarterback, heads and tails, is the guy that's been indicted by most people in Chicago. And I'm proud to say I've been with them from beginning to end. And the narrative that's amazing to me is that he's 26-13, and you hear grown people say he can't read a defense. That's virtually impossible to have that record in the NFL with that and not be able to. That's like saying you're an airplane pilot and you've made every landing, but you don't know how to read radar. It's ridiculous.
You know, I've seen so many film experts, Mike, who break down Trubisky's game, and they just say can't read a defense, bad quarterback, can't move out of the pocket. I've heard people say, too, that he can't move and can't recognize when the pocket collapses. What do you say to all that?
Well, I mean, I look at Dan Orlovsky, for instance,
sure.
Who I like.
That's who I'm referencing, actually.
Well, he's a horrible quarterback. So, I mean, he could break down Mitch Trubisky all he wants. If he would have been as good as Mitch Trubisky, you know, who knows where his career would be by now. He's got a darn good career. But, I mean, Mitch Trubisky, as far as a quarterback, heads and tails above Dan. And I don't want to hear why he played for the Lions. Matthew Stafford played for the Lions. And, by the way, how do you get rid of a quarterback that was 9-1 or 10-1 against Minnesota and Detroit the last 3-4 years? How do you get rid of a guy like that?
You think Justin Fields does that?
No.
He doesn't match that record, you don't think?
What? Then he'd have to go 10-0. You think that's going to happen, seriously?
No.
That he's going to beat? No. So all this propaganda. I mean, I hear national guys say, well, I heard from so-and-so, or I've been reading how good this guy looks. They've been reading, the same guys have been there for 30 years and have been wrong. The last time I was really wrong about a quarterback was Cade McNown. And I'm the first to admit it. I was right about Cutler, right about Foles, right about Glennon, right about Trubisky. But everybody listens to the wrong way, Charlies. Just listen to me. I'm telling you right now. You know, and I'm going to tell you something right now. If Josh Allen goes down, they got a quarterback that's going to get them into the playoffs. Because I heard, you know, there was a tweet out saying, well, if he was on an expansion team and you hired him, Mike, he'd be fired in 2 years. Well, if Andy Dalton or Fields were on an expansion team, you'd be fired in one. And why does it have to be an expansion team? Because Trubisky's on a team with weapons. And did you see how good he looked with those weapons? I mean, that's all you have to look at. They developed him here, and we let him go.
Mike North, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, what's your number one concern for the Bears this year?
The defense. That guy doesn't know what he's doing on the sidelines. There's a reason that the DC, the defensive coordinator, has been here since 2013 and never got a sniff. And then they bring in Petten to help him out. So I'm worried about the defense. But you know what? Hopefully, I won't be worried for long. Hopefully, they'll have a decent year. I'm more concerned about the defense, because if we can get some turnovers, get short fields, things could be good at the beginning. What happens if Dalton? I don't care how he looked in the last preseason game. The same people that are saying, Mitch, it's a preseason game, so it doesn't mean anything, are crucifying Dalton for having a bad preseason game. So, you know, it's all hypocritical. Here's what I know. Dalton throws for a lot of yards. You know why? Because he was always down. But also, because he had to always throw in the fourth quarter with Cincinnati. But also, I want everybody to know this about him before you genuflect to Justin Fields, who's never thrown a pass in a real game. when they traded Carson Palmer to Oakland, then they played Andy Dalton. And whether they won or lost in the playoffs, Cincinnati made it to the playoffs five straight years. Okay?
Right.
So Andy Dalton's not a bum. He may be long in the tooth. But I would say this. I wish it was Mitch. And if you wanted to draft Justin Fields, you could have. I wish it was Mitch and Fields. And I wish Dalton was the backup on Dallas. And I think Dallas's wishes that now also, because their quarterback backup situation's atrocious. And you know what? Dalton gave him some comfort.
I couldn't agree more. I know Ben DiNucci's doing nothing in Dallas, and that's behind Dak Prescott, who has injury history.
Right.
And
right, John.
And here in Chicago, I think the only problem with that theory, Mike, although I would love it, is that, of course, it would spark so much media controversy. No question.
But there isn't now with Dalton and Fields already. What do you think's going to happen if Dalton has a bad first half in the first game?
They're going to call to put in Fields right away.
That's exactly right. So you got – see, this is like a lesson, John. Yeah, I have no charge for you because you're an up-and-coming star, and you're a big-time guy. But you want to know something? I've been arguing with these people for years. I got the ins and outs on all of them. Bottom line is, if Dalton has a great first half, I believe Bear fans will galvanize. I think the first game for Dalton, unfortunately, against a great team, potentially, is so huge for him. Because if they win, then the Fields people back off. If they lose, the predictable Monday morning will be, I've been there. That Fields has got to be inserted in. Even though they'll ignore the fact that if Fields starts at quarterback in the first game, John, the Bears don't have a chance at all, against the blitzing, the edge rush, the stuff that he finally faced some pressure this week and almost got killed. Okay. So their offensive line isn't where it should be. I think the Bears are doing the prudent thing and they're living up to a promise they shouldn't have made by saying, if you come, Andy Dalton, if you come, we will start you. We will start you the first game, but we don't know how long that will last after that.
When would you like to see Fields come in if it were up to you?
Well, hopefully not at all. Hopefully we get off to a good start.
Sure.
Because if he comes in, it's over. It's over. They'll be once again judged. See, this is the same group, like I said, that's brought in all the other bad quarterbacks. They couldn't unseat Mitch, so they let him go. There's no way, Dalton. They couldn't unseat him. He came back on them. He saved their job. And for all that, after ripping down his career and making everybody think he can't play, they got rid of him, and then they put themselves in a worse situation. There's a reason the over-under 7.5 and not 8 or 8.5, especially when you're playing 17 games.
Do you think they hit the over?
No.
No. Okay.
I thought they would. Then I saw the offensive line, and I also saw the defensive scheme. I know we didn't play our guys. That I know. But I just know. I looked at that OC, I mean the defensive coordinator of the Bears, and he looked like a deer in headlights. Because they were out to stop Mitch Trubisky. They didn't want to be embarrassed like this. And, you know, everybody's shutting up about Mitch now. Because they know he gave them a paddling. He gave all the media, the Meatball Bear fans, he gave them all paddling. And so it's time to move on. I don't have to argue about Mitch anymore because I was dead on about him.
Let me ask you this about the season opening game, because we talked about that a bit already. If Fields starts, what better results could you expect against that sort of defensive front versus Dalton?
They got the better chance with Dalton.
Right.
You cannot go in with an experience like that. You can't feed him to the Lions. Now, there's a reason he dropped in the draft, and the Bears think everybody else was stupid. but the bottom line is that there are prop bets in Vegas about what rookies are going to take a first snap or who's going to quarterback for certain teams. Like Cam Newton right now is -300. You know, Trey Lance is minus two, is plus 180. You know, some of the rookies. There's nothing on Fields.
Wow.
So it's a foregone conclusion that Dalton's starting game one. The Bears are, you know what? They are that stupid, and they're pretty stupid. But they're not that stupid to let Fields play against that team to start off with. Let them watch. Let them learn. I think everybody, Bear fans, know what's coming, though. They're hoping for the best, but, you know, you can't have a different quarterback every year. You can't have different defensive coordinators every year. You know, Fazio, Pagano. Now this guy just, you know, so it just doesn't look good because there's so many changes on both sides of the ball.
Mike North here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, how confident are you in Fields' overall skill set based on what you've seen?
Well, I'm not. From what I saw, I understand he can run. But I'm not as far as accuracy. I'm not there with him. I'm there for arm. I'm there for escapability. Pocket presence, I'm not there. So right now, I'm not. Now, that could change.
Sure.
Okay? And if it does, good. I mean, but are we going to see a Mahomes type of back? No. No. It's not going to happen. There's only one of those, and it cost Mitch his job because he wasn't as good as Mahomes. I mean, I love the people that – I wanted Watson, but what would be that situation right now? You know?
Right.
I mean, that's in flux. So I think, like I said, Mitch Trubisky made the right move to extend his career after this year, and he's with a competent team, and he's learning, and he's with one of the top three coaches, in my opinion, in the National Football League, Sean McDermott. Who the team gets better every year, both on all aspects of the ball, special teams, defense, and offense.
What's your overall expectation for the Bears this year?
If they win eight games, you should be happy. And if Fields gets to play and he shows some promise, but they had the quarterback position sewn up. I mean, this is not the first time. They had the tight end position shown up with Greg Olsen. And they got rid of him. And he went on to make Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl. So they had the running back position shored up with Jordan Howard, who played this past week in Philadelphia. I'm saying that Montgomery with Dalton back there is not going to be as effective because when Trubisky came in, everybody knows this. The last few games last year, the offense did everything so much better, including score more points,
right,
have more yards, and Montgomery was a lot better.
More to come with Mike North in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Mike North, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, a few more questions before we finish
up.
First off, any celebration plans for your 30-year anniversary in media?
Well, I'm doing different things, John. I just left a great relationship at Wynn Daly. I was there for 6 months. I had a great contract with them, but I have two other things on the docket that are going to be, I'm going to be announcing in a few weeks. I'm also working at where I have an interest in Bears Barroom, along with my buddy Aldo Gandia. I'm on the best terrestrial radio pick show in the business, the Odds Couple on AM 1000 with Carmen. And I'm also got this radio and TV documentary that we're working on. We've had snips of that on North to North. If you want to follow, go to northtonorth.com. So that's coming along. Aldo Gandhi and I are working on that. It's independently produced. BB North is the boss of that one. So it's a lot of revealing good stuff about the past 30 years and before that. And things for the future. So I'm so busy. I'm having fun. To me, I'm blessed to still be doing this. And I've seen it all, been with a lot of major people, but the bottom line is the last 30 years in this type of culture, to me, and to be working for a great company and with guys like Mike Thomas, who runs ESPN 1000. I like Mike a lot. And Carmen's fantastic. Randy, Yurko, We have so much fun. We just wrapped this thing in. I mean, I made an appearance. I made my first appearance at a spar, I think called Chasers, back in 1992. And then this week for ESPN 1000, I made an appearance 30 years later at Bourbon Street. So I'm very blessed. I got a lot of good stuff going on. But the best thing I got is BB. We've been how long have we been married, B? 44 years. I get the dates mixed up because I dated her too, you know, beforehand. We just didn't have an arranged marriage. I hear that's big in some parts of the world right now, but that didn't happen like this. I had to beg. But we've known each other almost 47 years. So that's my main beautiful thing I'm proud of more than anything.
How have you lasted so long in this business, Mike? What's been the key?
Keep getting, like, don't get knocked down. You get staggered. You get staggered. If you're honest, you're never going to have a career for a huge long period of time. Unless it's the right time. And I came around at the right time. But then I adjusted. And I've been gone from local radio for a long time, as far as, or I was until I got in ESPN 1000. But that's because I became a stud handicapper. I mean, come on, John. How many guys you know are great handicappers and can do what I do? Come on now. You got to be honest. So the bottom line is I win. We have an entertaining show. We have a great station to do it on, an AM 1000. Got backing from the bosses and everybody else. Randy Birkin's an excellent producer. We got guys like Sean and Tyler Rocky and Eric Ostrowski that helped with the show. So, yeah, it's a great effort, you know. It's a great effort. I'm on every Friday. The Sox have stolen our thunder. So we're on Saturday morning. We have the podcast up on Friday.
And, Mike, before we finish up today, last question. Can we get a giant impression from Jack and the Beanstalk? Can we hear that from you?
You know what's great? We're going to put out on Twitter today. We have the baby now listening to the book.
Really?
Yeah. But I decided they have a book out. They have books out that you get Jack and the Beanstalk. You can get Jack and Jill. You can get all these different fairy tale type of situations. And we said, let's get our niece, who's, you know, we hadn't seen her because of COVID. She's 9 months old. Let's get her something unique. So we got this book that also has tapes every page, but you have to do the reading. And I read Jack and the Beanstalk, and the Jack came up and he said, "Hey, can I climb that?" And the giant said, "Not on my watch," you know. And I did that, and she loved it. So yeah, you know, it's all fun. It's all good time, man. That's what I am now, Jack. I'm no more. I give you the facts. Now, I give you the facts. Now, you could go and listen and read all the newspapers that used to be. Remember when the news, I don't know if you're how old you are, but the newspapers used to be bigger than pamphlets. And the reason they're pamphlets is most of the, including sports writers, think that the people actually believe what they write. But many, many of the people stopped reading them years ago. Years ago. So you got to be honest. And you got to say what you feel. But you got to be right once in a while. And you can't be somebody who goes from quarterback to quarterback. Oh, I like this guy. I like that guy. I don't like Mitch. Well, now I like Mitch, but I like Foles. Oh, wait, Foles isn't good anymore. Let's bring somebody else in. Justin Fields is a superstar. Justin Fields needs more time. Oh, wait a minute. Well, Dalton looks great. No, Dalton doesn't look great. They're all the same people. So when you read, remember who's saying all this nonsense. Look them all up and see what their comments are or what they were about Mitch and what they were about Glennon and what they were about Cutler. Oh, Cutler's going to be an all-time great. You know, he was a five. Mitch was 29 and 21. I love the stat. And Cutler got the opportunity to be 57 and 57 because the media all bought in for whatever reason. Well, because the Bears told them to. Basically, most of them.
You brought up a great point last time we talked, and I think it's even more relevant now. If Justin Fields puts up the same numbers as Mitch, or even does a bit worse, I think there's going to be more positivity around it.
Oh, if Justin Fields had Mitch's numbers, they'd have a statue built for him. I mean, I'm not kidding you. But basically, in my world, he's got to be 30-20. He's got to throw for more than 10,000 yards. He's got to throw more than 64 touchdowns and less than 37 interceptions. And he's got to have a quarterback rating of over 87. I don't see it happening.
Thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on to Talk Bears. Looking forward to the next time we chat. And obviously, best wishes with Bears Ballroom and ESPN 1000 and all the new projects coming up soon. Thank you so much.
Hey, John, you're the best. Thanks, man.
Great talk there with Mike North, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Mike North himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, to Marlboro Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and sportstalkchicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No!
We are the Eternals!